The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
Okay, hey, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi. I've got a great show today. I've got a very, very special guest, a real gentleman, just a genuinely nice person. You don't get to meet a lot of them in your life, but I am very happy that he's going to be with us today. And his name is Pierre Dulaine. And Pierre, some of you will have known of him from the film Dancing Classrooms, which starred Antonio Banderas playing the part of Pierre. But there's so much more to know about this man and all that he has done. Today, Pierre and I will be discussing the power of dance and touch and confidence and how Pierre, through dancing, not only changed his life, but transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. As I mentioned, Pierre is best known for sharing the gift of dance with 30 reluctant students in a New York City public school, and then over 20 years with over 410,000 children in 31 cities around the world. Ballroom dancing changed Pierre's life, transforming him from a shy young man to a charismatic, confident world champion. He has worked with autistic and Down syndrome children here in the United States and with adults in a psychiatric clinics in Geneva, as well as in an adult homeless shelter. Patients, as a result of Pierre's work, began to feel normal again, and many regained their self-esteem and dignity through the social graces that go hand in hand with ballroom dancing. Despite a remarkable career, he is most proud of his work on a project he calls Dancing in Jaffa, and we're going to be discussing that shortly. So before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about Pierre. As I mentioned, he was born in Jaffa, Palestine, and after his family relocated, he grew up as a teenager in the UK. Pierre began dancing at age 14, and in 1972, he ended up in New York City. He started his dance partnership with Yvonne Marceau in 1976, winning 4 world championships in show dancing and performing in Tommy Toon's Grand Hotel on Broadway for 2.5 years. The New York Times dubbed Pierre a dancer and a teacher extraordinaire. He is best known for sharing the gift of dance with 30 reluctant students, as I mentioned, in a New York City public school, and then over 410,000 children in 31 cities around the world. In 2005, The Mad Hot Ballroom, a hit documentary, came out, and then again in 2006, Take the Lead with Antonio Banderas hit the big screen, portraying Pierre and his dancing classroom's work. His greatest triumph, though, this might or might not surprise you, would be when he returned to Jaffa to teach Jewish and Palestinian children how to dance with the enemy. This journey was chronicled in the new documentary film Dancing with Jaffa in Jaffa, and Pierre is going to tell us later on how we can all get a chance to look at that that documentary. So, Pierre, hello, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I'm excited.
Thank you. Wow, what an incredible introduction. You're so
well, you deserve it, Pierre.
Seriously, even my mother couldn't have done it better.
Well, I could have checked with her, but the material you gave us was outstanding. But you know what, Pierre? You're just a great guy.
You're very kind. Thank you.
And I learned that when you and I chatted about a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And I prepared for the show. So let's get started, because the folks listening today are going to want to know a lot about you. So I want to help them out. So the first question I have for you, Pierre, is what was it that made you decide to begin dancing?
Well, actually, it was by accident. As you mentioned, I was born in Palestine, in Jaffa, a long time ago. And I grew up speaking three languages, only English at home, Arabic on the street in Jordan, and French at the school. I went to a French school. So coming to England when I was 13 years old, I had a funny accent, if you want to say. I was made fun of. I was bullied at school. And then, you know, a school friend of mine suggested I would go dancing with her, so I did, and I didn't know anything about it, so I discovered it, liked it very much, and although I was so bad at the beginning, I really was bad. I mean, all I knew was Middle Eastern type music and none of the, you know, European ballroom type music especially, so I was not good at it at all. I didn't have the ear for it, but I stuck with it. And made it a career later on. So that was really by chance that my school friend asked me to go with her.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, and I have to draw a little bit of a personal analogy. You know, I think that people like you are very courageous in a way that when you stand out or decide to step out on a ballroom floor, there's not a lot of people out there with you other than your partner and maybe a couple of other couples.
Yeah.
And it's you and the judges, and you're really, I guess, competing against yourself.
Correct.
Right. You know, and I remember our youngest son, we have three boys, my wife started him figure skating at 6.5 or 7 years old because at that time, he's 27 now, kids would have skating parties.
Yeah.
And my wife wanted him to enjoy the parties.
Yeah.
Well, he skated competitively up until he went to college.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was good. He never really, you know, went on to, you know, competitions and things of that nature at a higher level. But I always admired the fact that he had the courage to get out on that ice all by himself.
Yeah.
And it was just him. And it's in a very, you know, it's an imposing thing. And that courage is what helps people to step up and play big, and it's what helps turns people into champions, regardless of what they do with their life.
Correct. You know? I mean, I really agree. The wonderful thing about deciding to go or liking a sport, liking a situation, music, whatever, it gives you the discipline to excel at it, and that gives you the confidence to walk tall in life. And
yes,
you don't have to become a champion at any of that stuff, but the mere idea that you put time in and discipline, this is really, for me, what counts so much in life in any case.
Well, you know what? My son was always nervous in high school, and especially in college, mm-hmm. and he did Navy ROTC, that people would find out that he was a figure skater.
Mm-hmm.
But but in college, when his other friends found out about it, initially they teased him, but then they realized he could meet girls. And all of a sudden, they all wanted him to take them skating to teach them how to skate.
Exactly. I mean, this is a good way for, especially nowadays in New York City, for you know, male dancers to go to a jazz class. There'll be one of few men there, and the whole class is full of ladies and women.
Yes.
So it's a good way, for sure, for certain. Go for it.
So, you know, and I was so proud of him because he today he's a Navy fighter pilot. So he continues to put himself out there. So how did you first meet Yvonne?
Well, actually, I landed in New York City. I used to be a cruise director on board a ship on a Greek line, sailing in and out of New York City to the Bahamas, Caribbean.
Yep.
And I decided to get off and spend a couple of weeks holiday in New York City before returning to the UK, before returning to England. So I went into the Arthur Murray Studios to say hello to some friends of mine, ballroom dancing teachers, and they offered me a job. So I thought I would stay for 3 months, and then I didn't. That was in 1971, so I have been here ever since. I did not intend to come to immigrate to the U.S. or to New York, but then once New York City gets into my blood, you know, you buy a chair, you buy a bed, and you're here. So I landed a job at the Arthur Murray Dance Studios in New York, in Manhattan, and from there, Yvonne, who had been a ballet dancer, she had polio as a young child, and her mother decided to send her to strengthen her legs, so she became a ballet dancer. But she had come to New York City to try her luck out. But, of course, joining New York City Ballet and stuff like that was, you know, too high up a ladder. So she decided maybe she could do some dancing, some teaching of ballroom dancing. And so she came and joined the Arthur Murray Studio staff. And that's how we met at a dancing studio. A couple of years later, we decided to become partners. And that's how this is like now, what, 38, 39 years ago. So it's been a while for sure.
Now, let me ask you a question. What was it that made the both of you work and dance so well together?
Well, basically, I think our work ethics were really, if I may say, top line, you know, very, very high end, if you want to say. We wanted to excel, both of us. I came from the world of ballroom. She came from the world of ballet. So we put the best of two genres together, and we became show dancing champions. But the wonderful thing, because of no offense to ballroom dancers now, not at all, because what they do is just what we do in the world of ballroom is incredible. But ballet, you have to have discipline. You have to know how to point your feet, use your arms. And she was the ethereal half of us. And so when I would put her up in a lift, I knew she looked beautiful. And so I accepted her technique. She accepted my technique. We hardly ever had an argument. I'm sorry to say, I dropped her once on the floor from a high lift, and oh my God, I thought she was a goner. But we both respected each other's professions, each other's genre of dancing. That we came into the middle, and we made the best of it. And the world showed us that we were good. So we were very blessed. We were very lucky.
Oh, you see, that's wonderful because. I have to a quick aside. My son is, you know, 6'2", so everybody wanted to be a partner with him in figure skating. But his response was, "Dad, I got enough trouble keeping me standing up. I can't worry about somebody else." But what you and Yvonne proved was that you were not willing to accept average. That you knew with some work, you could excel and you could be above average, and you could be the master of your circumstances and not be a victim. Is that correct?
That is 100%. And if I may also add to that, you know, because in the world of show, as soon as you put the word show in anything that you do, you have to have costumes, you have to have music, you have to have photographs, you have to have an agent. And all of those, this accoutrement, these side things, were of utmost importance. So we sought out the very, very best. I couldn't afford much, but I had to have my own dancing shoes made for me. I have a high instep. So I had to have the best for what we wanted. We had the best photographer take our shots for us, you know. So I think other than your own work, your own discipline, you really need to seek out the best of the best to be able to compete in the big pool. And yep. Not just accept, as you've just said, you know, being middle. Now, I mean, it's wonderful. As I said, you don't have to if you're just doing it for fun. But if you're doing it as a profession, you've got to look at every aspect of every single thing that that you do.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's a great way to end on our first segment here. So I want everybody to stay there, and we're going to be back in about 90 seconds.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at chrisruisi.com or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Hey, this is Chris Ruisi, and thanks for standing by. We're back with my special guest, Pierre Dulaine of Dancing Classrooms. We are so happy to have Pierre with us today to talk about how dance not only changed his life, but the lives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And in the first segment, we talked a little bit about what Pierre and his partner Yvonne did to prepare themselves for a world of championship dancing. And what I want to do in this segment is to explore with Pierre his most what he believes is his most important project, Dancing in Jaffa. And I want to remind you that for those of you who want more information about me, please go to chrisruisi.com. And, of course, you can get my book, Step Up and Play Big, How to Be Exceptional in 8 Simple Steps, on Amazon. So, Pierre, tell us about Dancing in Jaffa. How did you first come about that you there was a need to create this program, this work?
Well, as I said, I was born in Jaffa a long time ago, and having had our dancing classrooms program in so many schools here in New York City where I founded it, I had a dream for a while that here I am helping American children, and I love children in any case, no matter where you're from. I thought I wanted to go back to where I was born and help the children of Jaffa, whether you're Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. And so I had this dream for quite some time. Then, of course, this lady, Diane Nabatov, who produced the movie with Antonio Banderas, the feature movie called Take the Lead, she got to know about my desire, my dream, my lifelong dream. And so she told me, when you're ready, let me know. And so in December 2010, I said, Diane, I'm ready, I'm off. She said, but it's Christmas time, I have to get the money together. I said, well, Diane, I'm sorry, while my legs can still take it, I have to go. So anyway, she somehow got some monies together, bless her heart, from her husband first, from family, and got enough money to get the crew together. And in February 2011, I started working in 5 schools in Jaffa, in the city of Jaffa, which is really an extension of Tel Aviv. By the way, Tel Aviv used to be the extension of Jaffa.
Yeah.
You know, in the days I was born. But anyway, there were 2 Arab schools, 2 Jewish schools, and 1 mixed school where they had Jewish, Muslim, and Christian children all together. And so I did my 10-week program, which really went on about 14, 15 weeks because of holidays and half days. I went to Jaffa beginning, as I said, in February and left in June. And I brought, it was the hardest project I have ever done.
What made it so hard, Pierre?
Well, I mean, it's children, 10-year-old children, 5th graders, in any case, don't want to touch each other. You know, it's a yucky yep. age. This is normal here, wherever we are. But over in Jaffa, let's call them the Palestinian Israelis and the Jewish Israelis are living next door to each other, in front of each other, you know, houses are opposite each other, yet they don't talk to each other. They go to separate schools, and they don't mingle. And so it really is like, as you mentioned, dancing with the enemy. And so for me, two big obstacles. One was with the Muslim religion, boys and girls are not supposed to touch or dance with each other.
Right.
That was a very big thing. So I had to meet with the parents, with the schools, etc., ahead of time. And because I speak Arabic with a Palestinian accent, which is different than an Iraqi or a Syrian accent, and I was there, I was from there, my mother is Palestinian, somehow I got them to agree. They accepted me. Then the other obstacle was for the Jewish parents to allow their children to dance with an Arab. This is very, very big. Now, the Jewish parents, of course, you know, wanted their children to be cultured and to know about dancing, but then really dancing with the Arab was a big thing. But anyway, I had no ulterior motive. I'm not there political. I was not there politically. So eventually they all agreed, and I started off with 150 children. And, as I said, the program is 10 weeks long, twice a week. And by the end, we had the colors of the rainbow team match, which is the culminating event that we have in any case all over the world, where each team, each couple, I should say, we don't call them couples, we call them teams, but each boy and girl, one was Jewish, one was Palestinian. Palestinian, Israeli-Palestinian in Jaffa, not the West Bank. Have to differentiate between the two because I worked in Israel itself and not in the West Bank. And so each team was a mixture of the two religions, let's say. And that was just unheard of. But it happened. And at the beginning, I don't think I mentioned, they were spitting at each other.
Oh, jeez.
Kicking each other. I mean, I was pulling my hair out. I really was. And on a few times, I thought I could never make it. I'd never make it. I have to give up. But, you know, I love children. I sat them down and thanked them very much for trying and realized, let them know how hard it is for them. And again, because I speak Arabic, it was really, really the key thing. And from that, I'm very grateful. I mean, I'm looking back right now, I can't believe I did it. I really, really can't. I've seen the film, of course, a few times, and I see that person up there, and my God, how did he do it? But, you know, I believed, and this is something I think in life we have to just believe in the journey.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, what if you look back at the beginning to at the end when the program was complete, what was the biggest change that you saw, that you accomplished?
The look of laughter in the children's eyes.
Regardless of their background or beliefs.
Regardless.
They all could find laughter.
Yeah. And honestly, they accepted me. And I this is a saying of mine. I'll repeat here, please, if I may.
Yes.
When you touch someone, something changes. The unique, I mean, you mentioned your son being an ice skater, and, you know, and for ice skating to excel, you really are doing solo work. And now, of course, there is partner ice skating, the ice dancing, pair dancing, etc., pair skating. But when you touch a human being with respect, you get that moment of respecting the other person with you. You get to know that person in a way that you never realized, you never thought. Your impression of them automatically changes just by the way they react to your touch. And it is because of respect. And I think that's what the children learned, is that they eventually trusted me enough to extend their hand, touch each other's hands first, and then touch each other in the what we call the ballroom hold, the embrace hold. And when you embrace someone, when you're standing in front of someone in an embrace hold, there has to be a feeling, you know, negative or positive, and it ended up being a positive feeling with all of them. And the way the program works, by the way, is that they're not dancing with, I mean, for the classes, they're not dancing with one person. They're always moving. They're standing in two circles, and the gentleman say, thank you, partner, and move over one partner to the left and say hello, new partner, and they dance for 2 minutes with that partner. Then they move off again. So by the end of the class, they're all dancing with each other. So, and once you have touched someone, once you've danced with someone, you can no longer bully that person. This is right. In general. And this is the success of this program. This is why it's so unique, because you're touching someone with respect. And did I know all of this 20 years ago, 21 years ago, when I founded Dancing Classrooms? I didn't. All I knew was that it changed my life, as you mentioned, and yep. Now I'm changing others. And it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable how Dancing Classrooms works. Unbelievable.
You know, you said something when you were describing Jafin, and you were describing it so passionate. And for those of you out there listening, the lesson, there's a couple of things I want to say, but the first lesson is, get passionate about something and you'll achieve the same level of success and make a difference in the world like Pierre has done. But one thing Pierre said, that when he first undertook this Dancing in Jaffa project, he knew that he could never give up. And winners, leaders, champions, regardless of what you do, never give up. They have persistence.
Here.
And that is so critically important. We've got about 2 minutes left before we go to break. Pierre, how can people find Dancing in Jaffa? Where can they find it?
Well, actually, three things I'm told now. The movie has already been released. One can download it, I believe, from iTunes.
Okay.
One can now, the DVD has just come out, Dancing in Jaffa. So, you know, they can buy the DVD. But at the same time, if they want to see it on a big screen, there's gather.com, where you can arrange for friends of yours and whatever it is, and work with the film people to arrange a screening, I believe. That is something. But it's on iTunes, it's on DVD, it's on VOD, Video On Demand, I believe, as well. So it really now is, available quite generally.
Well, I'm telling my listeners right now, go buy the DVD, go to iTunes, or go to gather.com, because, you know, in doing my research for the show, I went on YouTube and I just, put in Pierre's name. And there's some really great videos of him and Yvonne dancing.
I love it.
And you want to get yourself a drink or a cup of coffee or a soda and sit down with your laptop and let this man and Yvonne take you on a journey that you just kind of sigh at the end. Pierre, well done.
Thank you.
So we getting close to coming up here to the end of our this segment. So Pierre, let's end it here. And what we'll do is, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back in about 90 seconds. And again, let me remind you that this is Chris Ruisi from Step Up and Play Big, and talking about the things that Pierre Dulaine has done in his life to make a difference in the world. And stay there. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go, on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Hey, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back to Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi. And I'm with my guest today, Pierre Dulaine of Dancing Classrooms, Dancing in Jaffa. And I tell you, the first two segments have been absolutely great. If you missed them and you're just joining us, I want you to come back in 24 hours after we're finished here and listen to the recorded version of this show. I mean, you owe it to yourself to do that. So, Pierre, we're back, and let's circle back here, and I want to ask you, what did dancing and the many championships that you won teach you about yourself and dealing with life's challenges?
Well, I think just very quickly, I used to be very, very shy, very timid, had a broken front tooth, didn't like to smile. But somehow, for me, learning to dance made me stand up tall and straight. And I think just to answer your question, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. We are all unique. We all have something. And a champion of any form, of any sport or anything, is a person who stands up again. We're all going to get knocked down all the time in life. But somehow you've got to find a door. If you can't find the door, find the window and stand up and go for it. So really, it is believing in yourself.
Yes, I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect others to believe in you also? I mean, it starts basically with you.
Yeah.
How important was the concepts of goals, focus, practice, and hard work in helping to shape your career and becoming a champion?
Well, you know, the thing is, like an actor, no matter how good you are, you're still waiting for your agent to give you a call. And you're only as good as your last performance. And you cannot think you are really, really great. So somehow you've got to keep on trying. And for us, our goal was whenever we travel around the world doing performances, we wanted every performance, you know, you used to send thank you notes and the pleasure for us to be there, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, always be ready to shake hands with fans. And always we wanted to make sure that every show we did, we got two more inquiries after that. And I think this is what we did. So, I mean, our goals were, of course, we had to wait for people to invite us to go and dance, to go and earn money, to go and show our talent to their people. But at the same time, you cannot just sit back. You really have to write letters, make people aware that you are around, and nowadays it's much, much easier because you don't even have to mail anything to anyone. You can just send them a link to your work on the computer.
Right.
But somehow you've got to do it. You cannot just sit back and twiddle your thumbs and, oh, mea culpa, you know. I'm hoping that the phone will ring. You've got to make it ring.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's switch gears here and talk a little about Dancing Classrooms. I saw the movie two times. Where did the idea first come from for Dancing Classrooms? Not so much the movie, but the program. What drove you to create that?
Well, again, to say that I was shy and timid, coming to England speaking with a funny accent. Mm-hmm. Dancing changed my life. And so you roll the tape forward now. I'm in America. We had a performing company called American Ballroom Theater Company, where we presented ballroom dancing in the theatrical stage, all over the world. And then, you grow older, you need to stop dancing. So I volunteered my way into a New York City public school. And that's when you were mentioning the 30 unwilling, unruly children.
Yeah.
That was my very first time I worked with children in ballroom dancing. And they eventually liked it. I loved it. And that was really the beginning of dancing classrooms. But then, again, going back to how something can be so difficult. In those days, we didn't have dance movies. We didn't have Dancing with the Stars. We didn't have So You Think You Can Dance on television. So ballroom dancing was very much a foreign entity, mm-hmm. well-kept secret. All the people did it. They knew about it. But it was not in everyday's, as far as the kids are concerned. So, and then when I went to the New York City schools, knocking on the doors of principals, they were not interested. And in fact, one school, I had a meeting with the classroom teachers, and they said to me, it's too elitist. Many of these teachers were African American. What will our community do with ballroom dancing? And so I had many, many doors close up on me. But eventually I got one or two people. That became three, that became five. And now our program, Dancing Classrooms, is in over 220 schools in New York City.
So and you just wouldn't give up.
And I mean, I'm a Taurus. I was born in April, end of April, and I'm I go forward. I don't take no for an answer. I just move on, But there has to be a window. There has to be a way of getting it going. And, of course, it helped that I was famous enough as a ballroom dancer, having been on Broadway, etc. And so doors opened up slowly for me for principals, and I got in. And but now, it has, as you said, it's been in 31 cities in 5 countries, and it's a very, very successful program. It's a not-for-profit program,
right.
Which means that the more schools we go into, the more we are in the red, which really means we need to fundraise. And that the schools pay about 50% of our costs, we have to raise the other 50%. But it's an incredible program because it teaches life skills for the children. And, confidence, self-respect, esteem, all of these things that you really can't learn, learning the geography or history of a country, or the 2+2, as I say. So it is, and unfortunately, not just in this country, but many parts of the world, the arts are not given the attention they need to be given. That's
yes.
Unfortunate.
You're so right. Tell me, how did you win the hearts and minds of those first 30 students?
Oh, dear. I don't know. I mean, you have to find a way. I mean, I think most important thing, you need to love children.
Yep.
And you can walk into a classroom, and within 10 seconds, these children will know whether they're going to like you or not. And so you have to be able to get down to them. I mean, there is a method called the Dulane method, which is the Dulane way of working with children. And it consists of 6 elements, respect and compassion, being present so that the kids know I am really thinking of them, having good command and control of the class, giving them a lot of fun, speaking languages verbally, of course, and of course, body language. They know, but the way you, when you walk in, whether you're going to like them or not, whether they're going to like you or not. And so, these are the Dulane method is what we train our teaching artists to work with, to be able to make them successful to work with children.
Mm-hmm.
But I think first and foremost, you really have to like children, and they can read you. A child is like an animal, like a dog. They smell you before you come in. They know.
Right. Yeah, they're the best judge of people. As
Absolutely.
They get older,
yeah.
Too many distractions get in the way.
Yeah.
What worked best for you in winning them over? I mean, I know you were honest, you were genuine.
Yeah.
What else? Was there anything else that worked good for you in earning their trust?
I give them a dance blessing with my tie. I slap them with my tie.
Okay.
I always wear a tie. I mean, all our teachers wear a tie. But really, this is, it's fun. It's a joke. And so they have to line up in what we call escort position at the end of, at the beginning and end of a class. And so the ladies are on the man's right-hand side. That's the place of honor. And, and as they're lining up and they're saying goodbye to me, they're moving out of the class, I slap them with my tie in their head, and they line up and tell me, please, please, Mr. Pierre, slap me with your tie, etc. So I think it is something that is unique, that is unusual, that I happen to find about, that I can do. I think that has been with me a long, 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 long time ago. That helps. But I think, as you just said, being genuine and getting down, baby, you know, get down. I don't stand up tall and elegant and talk down to them. I am speaking to them. And I think this is what children really, and they want to be listened to also. They want to say their say, And many times, unfortunately, I mean, for one thing, it's very, very hard for a parent to bring up children nowadays. And you're a parent, you would know. But children need to have their voices heard. And with 30, 35 kids in a classroom now, the classroom teachers don't have enough time to listen to everybody. So it's a very tough thing to be a teacher.
Oh, yeah, my wife used to teach, and she retired a couple of years back. But, you know, it's hard to – I know teachers, they all want to do their best, many of them.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Sometimes the environment that they have to work in makes it hard. But, you know, you slapping them with your tie accepted them as part of the group. They became part of the, you know, the Pierre family, if we want. And all of us want to feel as if we belong to something.
Yeah.
And by using that, slapping them on the with the tie was like an initiation. Like, yeah, you're pretty cool. You're with me.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you had to do it all over again, Pierre, would you have done anything different?
Never. I would not.
Okay.
I mean, you mentioned something about we lost our home in Palestine for the creation of Israel. We lost our home again in Jordan, where we grew up. So my parents had a very, very difficult life, and we were near enough refugees. But, you know, my whole life, if I had not had those moments of low through my parents, you know, I would do it again. I really, because with that, my past, I mean, you are who you are from, never forget where you came from, and I haven't. So I think putting all of those things together, I would have my life exactly again. I'm very, very blessed and very lucky to be able to say so.
Okay, well, now for those of you out there listening today, if you want to learn more about dancing classrooms, I want you to go to dancingclassrooms.com. I'll say it again. dancingclassrooms.com, and everything is there that you need to know about Pierre. His picture is there, the students' pictures are there, and then across the navigation bar on the top, there's a tab that says Get Involved. I want you to click that tab, and I want you to get involved, agree to get mailings from them, make a donation, because as Pierre mentioned, this is a not-for-profit effort on his part in over 200 schools. He gets 50% of the money they need from the schools, and what we can do to help out. I mean, we owe it to our children and our future to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming to the end of this segment. Boy, it's like this is another great show. It's going real fast. So you stay there. We'll be back in 90 seconds with my guest, Pierre Dumais.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our last segment. We're making the final turn, and we're in the home stretch here. I'm kind of sorry we are, because I've been having a great time with my guest, Pierre Dulaine of Dancing Classrooms fame, dancing in Jaffa, world champion, and a genuinely nice, good person. Again, when our engineers are all done with this show, you'll be able to come back to my show page and listen to it again. And I would urge you to listen to it again, because there's an awful lot of helpful and important information that Pierre has been sharing with us. So, Pierre, you know, my personal belief is all of us are born with greatness within us. Mm-hmm. Now, how did your dancing allow you to let your greatness or full capability shine through? Because as you mentioned before, as a young man, you were shy, you were quiet, you had a chipped front tooth. How did dancing help you let your greatness out?
Oh, la la. I don't know exactly with how and why, but I think, you know, to do ballroom dancing well, yep, you have to stand up straight. You have to stand up tall. And that gives the impression to people, to you, but to people, of confidence.
Yes.
And so this becomes a muscular memory. And then you start to excel at the sport, at this, at dancing. And that gives you the confidence even more. It gives you the confidence to shake hands properly from the elbow, not just like what I call a wet fish. It gives you the confidence to look at someone straight in the eye and actually answer their question and not shy away from it. I think this is what transformed me, quite honestly.
Okay, it allowed you to build self-confidence, self-esteem.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Okay, and that's so important in life, no matter what we decide to do, is that, as you said before, you believe in yourself and have confidence that you can handle things, handle life as it comes your way.
Yeah.
As a champion, you know, what was the most important lesson you learned about being a champion? Was it the importance of sharing your gift with others, being a model for others to follow? What did you learn about by being a champion? It came with certain responsibilities.
I think first and foremost is to forget that you are a champion.
Bingo. Yep.
You know, I mean, don't carry it and don't carry a sign saying I am a champion.
Yep.
And I really believe real champions are humble.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have humility, because you're a champion today, but there's someone right behind you, baby.
Yep, exactly right. There's always somebody one step behind.
So, I mean, it's no use doing that. No use being too big-headed or big-headed. Be assertive in the way you speak, the way you conduct yourself, you know, and be confident in having been a champion and being a champion. But don't let it come out. One thing that I learned a long time ago, actually, when working, because I taught ballroom dancing private lessons to people at the Arthur Murray Studios, and I had my own dance studios. And when you're teaching private lessons with someone, it's a conversation that you're having with your student while you're dancing in between teaching. And one thing I learned is to leave the word I out of the sentence.
Oh, that's important.
And I think that's if many of your readers can remember this, that teachers want to be more humble than not. If, for instance, I did this and I did that and I went to the South of France, I. Hey, no one's interested. You know, I mean, people want to talk about themselves. The student is paying money to me. I want her, him, to talk to me about themselves. They don't want to hear about me. So although you want to love, I love me, yes, you have to love yourself, but, you know, keep it out of the conversation whenever you're working with people. And yep. this was an important lesson that I learned in my 20s, and I believe that helped me a lot to come to succeed in life.
You know, I remember when in my corporate life, someone once taught me a very valuable lesson, and I can tell you every time someone doesn't follow that lesson, and it was never believe your press release. Never. Always remember who you are, where you came from, and what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And don't get caught up in the hype of who you might have become, what title you may have.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
One day titles disappear,
yeah.
And you don't want to have your title define you. You
yeah.
want people to know who you are.
Absolutely.
What were the, and as you think back, and I just want to circle back one more time to dancing classrooms, what do you think were the two or three most important things the students learned besides dancing that helped them to grow and mature in their lives?
I think what we that's hard, not really hard. I think the another big aim of the program and what the kids do learn is tolerance.
Okay.
And to me, you know, because, I mean, I live in New York City, and I don't have to tell you how many nationalities we have living in New York City. And these kids all go together to certain to schools, no matter where you are, whether you're in Queens, in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, Manhattan, etc. And they may not be the same color as you. And then it's just because a kid has a different color, and kids really don't see color. They would get it from their home upbringing. This is the same thing in Jaffa, you know, the Arabs and the Jews. They get, they're learning stuff from their parents. And so then suddenly you're dancing with this other person that you were told is a different breed than you, different color, different, but they're the same person.
Did and you find so, out they're not, they're the same, yep.
Yeah. And again, once you touch someone, something changes, something happens in your mind. And so I think what I'm really proud of is that what the children do take away is tolerance, you know, from a different, and bullying gets out of the way also. So those are the two things that I know help so much the children. And if we can get these lessons into the children's minds now as they're growing up, as their ideas and ideals are being formed, it's the best age. That's why, you know, the 10, 11-year-old kids are still malleable, brains are still open to
yeah.
learning. And, I think tolerance and would be a very, very, very big thing that to take home with, that to go away with.
You're so right. Well, we're coming close to the end of our show here today, so I want to let you all know again, if you want to know more about Pierre and Dancing Classrooms, go to dancingclassrooms.com and go to the navigation bar up top. I'll know if you don't. I want you to all do this.
Mm-hmm.
And click on Get Involved, and whether it's $5, $10, $50, whatever the amount is, I want you all, I'm going to do it, contribute to what Dancing Classrooms is all about. So I want to thank Pierre for spending time with us today and for all of the information and knowledge he's shared with us about what he's done to not only fulfill his life stream, but also help others create the foundation to create and fulfill their dreams. Now, as usual, in less than 24 hours, a recorded version of the show will be available on my show page if you want to listen in again and to build your action plan as to what you're going to do to help others realize their greatness. So I want to thank you all for listening in today. I want to thank Pierre. Go to my website, chrisruisi.com, and go to Amazon and buy my book. Help us out here. When you go to chrisruisi.com, be sure to sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call. You will get a lot of knowledge out of it. And next week, my special guest will be me, and I will be talking about stepping up and playing big, and I want you to call in and challenge me. So we'll see you all again next week. Everybody have a great week. Go make something happen.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.